Hey, it's Cole. Welcome back to another episode of the Archerpreneur Podcast, where every week we talk about how you can make creativity your career. I'm really excited about today's episode because we'll be talking about something that I think most of us are really afraid of and oftentimes try to avoid, and it's criticism. Today, we're going to talk about how you can leverage criticism to help refine your process, build an audience, and move toward that goal of making creativity your career. Maybe you're already doing that. If so, that's awesome. I think this podcast episode will actually be even more helpful to you because you probably have more people criticizing you. So let's talk about it. I'm going to talk about three areas of criticism, really around these three groups of people. First, an editor. Second, professional critics. And third, user feedback. I'm going to talk about those three sources that are, I think, are often sources of criticism and how we can begin finding joy in the words that those critics put into our lives. So first off, the editor. Now, the role of the editor is a unique one in relationship to the other two, primarily because an editor is someone that we, as the artist, invite in. We welcome them into our process for the specific purpose of providing feedback. And if that's what we're doing, if we're inviting an editor, and maybe that editor is a professional editor, or maybe that editor is a friend, regardless of who it is, I think the most important characteristic of that person is that it is someone whose taste we trust. Someone that we trust, we've seen their work or we've seen their feedback and we've seen it play a valuable role in the lives of other artists or the other lives of other creators. So it's someone that we invite into the process whose taste we trust. I wrote a book several years ago and I went out in search of an editor for the book. And in that process, I found a wonderful woman named Allie Fallon, who's very gifted. She's a gifted writer. She had edited some people's books that are people who I trust and who have, you know, gone before me to work with her. And so that was a really great way for me to land on her. I asked around to other writer friends and said, hey, who would you recommend? And that's a really great way to find an editor. Ask people whose work that you trust in your particular field who they've gone to in the past for advice. Well, then I hired Allie, and together over the course of several days, we sat and we went chapter through chapter, section by section, paragraph by paragraph through my book. And I walked away with a ton of homework. And in a lot of ways, I was commissioned with the task of almost completely rewriting my book. My conversation with Allie helped me understand the reader in a really interesting way that I think ultimately was really helpful and made the book even better, more accessible, and ultimately more effective in the lives of the people who would pick it up and read it. And at the end of the day, that's the goal of our work. The goal of our work is to connect with people. And so that's one of the best values that an editor brings to the process, is that there's someone whose taste we trust. We invite them into the process. We ask them specifically for their critical feedback. What are the parts that work? What are the parts that don't work? And then we take that away as our homework to edit our own work. And then in the case with Allie and the writing of the book, I went back, we exchanged a few more revisions of the book, and over the process, her role as an editor helped me refine several drafts of the manuscript until it became a final product. And so an editor is the first round of criticism. It's someone whose taste we trust that we invite into the process and submit our work to that person. The second type of criticism that we'll find is criticism from professional critics. And this is someone who has a deep understanding of the genre and can speak from a place of knowledge. It's someone we don't have a personal relationship with. It's someone that we haven't invited into the process. It's someone who's encountered our work and has an authority because of their knowledge of the subject to speak in an educated way about the value of our work, how good it is, how it compares to other work in the genre, because they understand that genre deeply. So sometimes you might find criticism from people who say they're critics but aren't, because they don't actually have a deep educated understanding of the area of focus that you're working in. And I would challenge you to maybe weigh the voices based on your evaluation of the understanding that each of those professional critics have and speaking into your process. If someone is critiquing you from the outside, do this. Take it as a sign of encouragement, because it means you're going somewhere. It means the work that you're producing is worthy of something more than just being ignored. The truth is, most of the work that's put out into the world, especially today when so much content is being put out into the public sphere, most of the work is simply just ignored. And so if someone is looking at your work and making comments about it, whether they're qualified to make those comments or not, take it as a sign of encouragement, because it means your work is worthy of something more than just being ignored. And then in the process, practice wisdom and humility. In the practice of taking criticism from a critic, practice wisdom and humility. By wisdom, I mean balance the things that they're saying. Does it help your process? Does it refine your work? Is it valid criticism? And then, if it is, be humble enough to submit yourself to it. Be humble enough to make changes to your process, or your product, or your body of work. And if someone's criticizing something that is already a completed work, or show, or album, or song, that thing's already out in the open, and there's not much you can do to change it. But it can still be helpful as you continue to create a body of work in your next show, in your next album, in your next song. We can take lessons from qualified professional critics and apply it to our process so that we grow and develop over time. And so as we listen to those professional critics, first of all, we're going to consider it a joy that they're even taking notice of our work. And then we're going to take some things, and in wisdom, we're going to leave some things behind. And in humility, we're going to accept some of the things that they're saying. Now, I think one of the best areas of art to have professional critics in is live theater, because live theater has an opening night, and critics usually come in the first few days of the show. Well, if the run is a month or 6 weeks or 2 months, there's a really high value in the critic coming at the beginning of the run, because they then publish their critique. And if there's anything that's helpful, and if there's something that is worth us taking into our process and considering, we as actors or directors or producers or lighting designers or whatever it might be, can take some of those things and implement them into our process for the rest of the run, making a better and more effective product. I have a critic here in Orlando who often writes about our event that we produce, Immerse, this performing and interactive arts event that we do in downtown Orlando. And he always has wonderful things to say. And there are things that I've taken from him because it would be wise for me to take and implement into our process. So last year, one of the things that he talked about was he found it difficult to get around our event and navigate. There was just so much going on, he didn't know where to go. And so as an event producer and as someone who's committed to creating compelling experiences, I'm then able to take that feedback and say, okay, this may be a valid criticism. What is our wayfinding like? How are we helping people navigate our event? Is our website clear? Are our printed materials clear? Are they accessible enough that people can find our website, find our app, find our printable materials? And are those things user-friendly to help people discover the things that it is they want to see? Because the truth is, there are hundreds of experiences that any one person can have over the course of our event, one night or two nights. And it's up to us to help them discover the things that they're going to be most drawn to and help them find those things in the footprint of their event. Now, there are other things that this critic has said that just really are things we should leave on the table. This particular critic isn't into necessarily large crowds. Well, one of the objectives of our event is by 2020 to have a four-day event that platforms artists from around the world for an audience of 100,000 people. So built into our event is the nature of growth and it getting big. The objective is to create a large-scale performing and interactive arts festival. And so the criticism that, wow, this thing's getting really big, it's gone from a, it's nice to know about this and not everybody does, to now being a thing where a lot of people are showing up. And for him, that's a negative because of what he prefers. But for our organization, it would be silly for us to say, oh, we're going to take that criticism and implement it into our process and keep this thing small. Now, there could be opportunities for us to ask the question, how do we create moments where our attendees feel special or have a small scale event? And we actually try to implement those kinds of experiences into the process. We have experiences and performances that thousands of people can see and experience at one time. And we have other experiences that one or two or 12 people will have at a time. And we find those things actually to be equally valuable. So in the process of getting professional criticism, it's been helpful in certain cases, and it's been not so helpful in others. And so when it comes to professional criticism, may we go in with a sense of balanced wisdom and humility, knowing the things to reject and knowing the things to accept and bring into our process. The third piece of criticism that I think is really helpful that oftentimes we as artists cower from is the idea of user feedback. And I've learned a ton from the world of tech startups in this area, the idea and value of user feedback. In the tech world, they talk about an MVP or a minimum viable product. And all tech startups are trying to release their minimum viable product because they know as soon as they get something into the marketplace, they can begin getting user feedback. And in that process, they see what users are using, what users are connecting with, what users are responding to, and they're also simultaneously seeing the things that users don't connect with, don't respond to, and don't care about. And they're constantly eliminating the things that people don't find useful and embracing and amplifying the things that people do find useful. And that's another tech startup principle, the idea of iteration. And we as artists can learn so much from the tech world when it comes to releasing a minimum viable product, hearing how people connect with that product, and then iterating our product over time. Too many of us are so concerned about every piece of work that we put out, thinking that any one piece of work is a career ender for us. And the truth is, if you're putting out work and it's not all that good, most likely people aren't going to say that work is awful. They're just going to ignore the work. And in that process, there will be some pieces that stand out that people really like. And we can begin understanding the work that people ignore and understanding the work that people embrace and really double down on the things that are working. And here's, you may be working in a creative field and you consider yourself to be an innovator. And this is one of the places where user feedback is really, really important. If you're innovating in a field, if you're writing music in ways that people haven't written music, in the past, if you're making art that maybe isn't all that accessible, user feedback is your friend and it gives you a role. You, as an innovator, it's also your role to be a bridge builder. There are a lot of artists who might say, well, you know what, I'm just going to make what I'm going to make and I'm going to put it out and whatever, whoever responds to it and whoever doesn't, doesn't. And it's totally fine if that's the attitude you want to take. But if that is the attitude that you take, I would encourage you to begin reconsidering your expectations of what your creative career will be like, because that is the path that we can walk down if we truly are okay with creativity just always being our hobby. If you care about creativity always just being your hobby, you can do what you want and you never need an audience. But if you care about making creativity your career, an audience is necessary, and you have the opportunity to build bridges from where people are today to where you want them to be. Don't leave your audience in the dust. And if what you are making is good and you think it's valuable and it represents who you are, but people aren't connecting with it, chances are what's missing is the bridge from where people are in their current understanding of your type of work and where you want to take them. So turn around, grab their hand, be kind, be gentle, and be patient, and engage them in the process of coming to where you want them to be. And if you're unwilling to do that, it's okay, but reframe your expectations, and maybe you just have to be okay with being a hobbyist in your field. Because one of the best ways of not gaining an audience is to ignore them. But when we listen to the audience, we begin to build that audience caring about them, and they begin to understand that we care about them. And we listen to the audience not to win their favor from a place of desperation, but so that they can connect. Not so that they will connect. We don't listen to an audience so that they will love us. We listen to an audience so that they can love us. We don't listen to an audience so that they will love us from a place of desperation because we need their love. We listen to an audience so that they can love us, so that we can remove barriers to them accessing our work, so that we can remove barriers to them understanding what it is that we're doing, and so that we can build those bridges for them to connect to the work that we're creating. So in these three forms of criticism, whether it's an editor that we invite into the process because we trust their taste, or it's a professional critic that we're listening to because they have a deep understanding and authority of the genre and speak from a place of knowledge, or whether it's user feedback and we're exploring how people are or are not connecting to the work, one of the important questions that we can ask is, what are we looking for in criticism? What is it that we should try to discover in the process of listening to criticism? I think we shouldn't be asking the question, did they like it or did they not like it? That doesn't serve us. I also don't think we should be asking the question, do they think it's good or bad? That's also not a helpful question. What is the helpful question? The helpful question is this: was it meaningful? Was the work that we were making connecting to people in a meaningful way that inspired them, that moved them, that connected with them, that made them think, that made them come back a second time and listen to that song, or consider something about their lives when they looked at the painting, or resonated with them when they watched the play or the movie? What is the most important question that we could look for in criticism? The most important question is, was it meaningful? Are we creating meaningful work, and are we building the bridges for people to have meaningful experiences with that work? And I think if we start thinking about criticism in this format, in these terms, it will go from this thing that we think is scary and we try to avoid to one of our best friends that helps us refine our process all the way through the creation of a piece of work and all the way through the totality of our lives as artists. We take the criticism, we filter it through a place of wisdom, we are humble enough to receive some of it, and that humility allows us to take valuable criticism and create more meaningful work that connects with people in meaningful ways. I am always so honored to spend time with you. I'm so grateful for the fact that you would give me and this time 18 minutes and 16 seconds. Thank you for that. I hope you have a wonderful week. Keep creating. Listen to the people around you. Take the valuable stuff. Leave the not valuable stuff. And I'll see you next week.